Good afternoon to everyone. You know, just a month ago that we heard a bit about the book of Proverbs, and what a wonderful book of various words of wisdom, various concepts that can help us in our Christian life. Let's just turn to one. Proverbs 18 and verse 13. Proverbs 18 and verse 13. Since he that answers a matter before he hears it is a folly and shame unto him. He that answers a matter before he hears it, it's a folly and shame to him. What is this telling us? Well, as Christians, we need to develop the ability to evaluate information and reach accurate conclusions. If we don't cultivate this ability, we'll definitely be vulnerable to errors in our thinking. We can also be vulnerable to information that is distorted and will distort our thinking and perhaps our conclusions. It's only when we have all the facts that we can reach right conclusions, as the proverb teaches us. Here's a paraphrase of verse 13. Let's listen to this. It says, when anyone replies to a matter before he hears the facts, it is foolish and humiliating. It's pretty strong, huh? We could think of personal situations where this proverb is applied, but there's actually an Old Testament account involving the children of Israel that comes to mind with respect to this proverb. So let's go to the book of Numbers, chapter 32. Numbers, chapter 32. We're starting to see the tribes settling into the promised land, right? The promised land, the land of Canaan. But we see something a bit different here. Proverbs 32 and verse 1 says, the children of Reuben and Gad had a very great multitude of cattle. They saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead that, hey, this is a great place for cattle. So in verse 5, they say, well, if we found grace in your sight, let this land be given to your servants for possession, and don't bring us over Jordan. That is the Jordan River. Now, all the Israelites were poised to enter into Canaan, and in order to do that, you had to cross the River Jordan. And so therefore, they would inherit the land west of the Jordan. Yet before they even entered in, as it says, the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and we're going to see the half-tribe of Manasseh, they already had staked out their claim. They're like, we want to be east of the Jordan. It looks like a great place for our cattle. And at first, Moses was opposed to the idea because he basically said, oh, you're trying to get out of it. We need help to subdue the enemies. And here you are, you just want to stay on this side, not cross over. And they said, listen, we'll help you out. We'll send in our contingent. But when we help you to subdue the land, we want to be able to go back. And Moses said, okay, I'll take that. I'll take that. So we pick up the story in Joshua chapter 22. Let's turn there. Joshua chapter 22. And at this point in time, it was time to settle in those 2.5 tribes east of Jordan. So in Joshua chapter 22, verse 1, Joshua now is in leading the Israelites. And we notice there's Reubenites, Gadites, and the half tribe of Manasseh. And he just starts to rehearse things. He said, you've kept all that Moses, the servant, commanded you. You've obeyed the voice. You didn't leave your brethren there. You know, you did the right thing. So, okay, verse 4, you have rest now, as he promised. Go into the land. But he just says in verse 5, a little warning from Joshua, be diligent to do the commandment and the law, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you to love the Lord your God, walk in his ways, etc. So So far, so good. But we read in verse 10, perhaps an uh-oh moment. Verse 10 says, when they came to the borders of Jordan, that they're in the land of Canaan, the children of Reuben, Gad, half Manasseh, they built an altar by Jordan, a great altar to see to. Those 2.5 tribes building an altar. Now, the word altar could probably be best translated as a monument, and as we will soon see. But word got back to the other tribes, hey, do you hear what's going on? Those 2.5 tribes on the other side of the Jordan, they're building something. They're building something big, right? Word started to spread. And in verse 11, children of Israel heard, and they said, they built an altar. They found out at least some of the information. And when they heard it, verse 12, they gathered themselves together at Shiloh to go to war against them. To go to war against them. Why this reaction? Well, at this point in time, things were really good in the land of Israel, in Canaan. They did have their rest. Joshua was a wonderful leader. They were settling in. And it appeared to them that the eastern tribes were already going apostate. And they realized that this sounds like trouble. What are they building an altar on the other side? Maybe it's to a pagan god. Whatever, we're going to go to war. We're going to go to war. But we now actually see that the majority of the tribes, we'll call them the western tribes, they actually decided to follow the Proverbs. You know, Israel never did really anything that God told them to do. But they decided, we need more information. We need more information. So let's just read in verse 13. They sent, as it says, there, and they sent Phinehas, interesting, Phinehas, remember him? The son of Eleazar, the priest. 10 princes went, okay, and they came to the children of Reuben, it says in verse 15. And in verse 16, they're like, what's going on? What trespass is this if you've committed against the God of Israel to turn away this day from following the Lord? Have you built an altar that you might rebel? What's going on? This, it appears that this is what you're going to do. And they're like, this isn't good. Are you going to turn from the Lord, it says in verse 18? Are you going to be a rebel? And they just are throwing out all these things to the 2.5 tribes. They're talking about their concerns and say, listen, if you go bad, it's going to be a reflection on us. You know, God's not going to be happy. We're all part of Israel. So, you know, we need to know what's going on here. Verse, let's drop to verse 21. Let's see. Okay. Well, then verse 21, they answered, the 2.5 tribes, the leaders, of course, they responded to this. Verse 22, it said, the Lord God of gods, he knows, and Israel, he shall know if it's rebellion or transgression this day, that we have built an altar to turn from following the Lord or to offer a meal offering or peace offerings. Let the Lord himself require it. And if we have not rather done it for the fear of this thing, saying, in time to come, your children might speak of our children, saying, what do you have to do with the Lord of Israel? For the Lord God made Jordan a border between us and you, and Reuben and Gad, and you have no part. So your children will make our children cease from fearing your Lord. They're saying, listen, let's explain what we're doing. Let's explain what we're doing. We're on this other side of Jordan. We're not with the majority. And we are concerned about us really following and keeping together with all the other tribes. Verse 26, therefore we said, let's prepare us an altar, not to burnt offering, not for sacrifice, but, verse 27, that it may be a witness between us and you and our generations, that we might do service of the Lord before him, etc., etc. So they said, listen, this is not a altar. It's not to offer sacrifices or anything, you know, with pagantry, anything like that. It's really a monument. And that's why that would be a better way of looking at the word altar. Not a functioning altar, but really a monument. They had respect for the main altar on the other side of the Jordan. But they wanted a reminder for that eastern tribes, those 2.5 tribes, that they should not forget that there's the altar, not a monument, but an altar on the other side of the Jordan. So in verse 29, they concluded, God forbid that we should rebel against the Lord and turn this day from following the Lord to build an altar for burnt offering, meal offerings, or sacrifices besides the altar of the Lord our God that is before his tabernacles. So they gave out the information. They gave the full explanation. And what do we have? What's the reaction? Verse 30, Phinehas, the priests, the princes, they heard the words, and as it says in verse 30, it pleased them. Hey, that makes sense. That's good. No problem with that. And they said in verse 31, this day we perceive the Lord is among us. You have not committed trespass. You know, you're nothing wrong with what you're doing at all. And verse 33, the thing pleased the children of Israel. And the children of Israel blessed God and did not intend to go up against them in battle. That was obviously all called off. And what do we have? A happy ending. We have a happy ending with the children of Israel. There's no war. All the relationships are restored. In fact, they probably were pleased that, wow, you're doing this. You're making a monument. You're making sure your children always respect the main altar. Like, that's great. That's actually really good what you did. And we can say, how were they successful? Why was there a happy ending? Well, the proverb was followed, right? The proverb was followed. And we could boil it down to another modern proverb that says there's two sides to every story, right? There's two sides to every story. That is it's very simple, but it's very powerful. Very powerful. Two sides to every story. Now, when we act or react with only part of the information, lots of trouble can follow. With Israel, what could have been done? What if they never talked to them and just said, it's got to be wrong, and they just started going into battle and trying to kill the 2.5 tribes? Thankfully, they talked to them and got the information. For us, brethren, let's always remember, when dealing with issues, problems, let's simply employ the proverb. Don't jump to conclusions. Get all the facts before you come to any kind of conclusion. And that would apply to relationships in and out of the church. And we saw how the children of Israel continued to follow God faithfully in unity because they did employ the proverb. So again, let's learn to always hold off on our initial reactions or assumptions regarding other people's motives until we hear the whole story.